This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
USA Today's Dan Wolkin. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm all right, guys. How are y'all?
Good. All right seems rather optimistic for the state of things that we are in. I could tell you were hesitating to say good because you knew you didn't want to go ahead and put that out there. But I think settling on an all right is that's kind of where I'm at as well. It seems like with each passing day, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, we get more and more news that just tends to upset us. Yesterday was a big day for college football, though, as we find out the non-conference opponents, the LSU, Texas, the Tennessee versus Oklahoma, the Florida versus Florida State will take a back seat. Did that surprise you in the slightest bit, or did you see that one coming?
No, it didn't really surprise me. I think the issue with a lot of these conferences is that playing just a conference-only schedule allows you more flexibility. It's easier to reschedule games if you kind of go into it with the expectation the games are going to need to be rescheduled, moved around, postponed, canceled because of COVID. And also, if you play one non-conference game, and certainly some of those schools, you know, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, you know, those games that maybe both schools wanted to play, well, if you make an exception and say, we're going to play one out-of-conference game, then the other three non-conference games that you've got to cancel, you know, they're going to be wanting their money. They're going to be wanting their guarantee appearance fee. So I think it's just cleaner and easier if they just cancel all the non-conference games and call it a day. And, you know, again, this is all on paper. Like, we'll see if the season actually happens or, you know, whether it's got to be pushed back again or, you know, just really no way to know. But, yeah, I think the conference-only model is kind of going to end up being the consensus.
How about pushing back the start of the season? Yeah, I'm getting conflicting reports as for what the Big Ten will do. We know what some other conferences will do. Is it seems like they're trying to almost buy time, but I don't know whether or not they're maybe looking at the NFL to see if they do it right, whether or not you can find some sort of avenue to say, hey, look, these guys are playing games and they're able to do it safely and we can get the job done, or they're looking to say, well, the NFL completely bombed and it didn't work out well and this is why we have to close shop.
Well, look, I guess everybody can take the same set of facts in this situation and come to a different conclusion as you look at them, but what makes the most sense to me is that you delay as long as you can possibly delay, especially right now. I mean, are the number of cases in some of these states still going up? Have they plateaued? Are they going to go down? So more time to sort of figure that out would be good. Also, when you have college students coming back to campus, as is going to happen over the next month at a lot of these places, it's sort of an obvious thing to say, but like there's going to be a bit of an outbreak on a lot of these campuses once kids come from all over the country, maybe even all over the world, and start living in apartments and dorms again, going to class, whatever college kids are going to do. So if you're a football program, you know, I think maybe the mentality is, all right, you let that happen and you just kind of see what the whole situation is with the campus. You see if it affects your team. You see if you can keep your team away from parties and other things that might, you know, be pretty risky. So, you know, you kind of let that whole situation play itself out. You also have the added benefit of being able to observe what the NFL is doing, whether it works for them, what you might be able to learn from them. So I think it makes all the sense in the world to go late September, early October, something like that.
We saw Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech opt out. We knew some would opt out. Are you expecting more? How many for each program? Is it going to be a wide variance? Like, what are your expectations for college football players opting out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the number could be anywhere between, you know, 10 and 50. You know, something. I mean, it's really hard to know. There's definitely going to be some. Right, there's definitely going to be more guys who look at the list of NFL players sitting out, and now there's one at least high profile first round draft pick caliber player who's not going to play, and so those guys who are thinking about it may be swayed one way or the other by that, but you know it's hard to know, and certainly you know it may come down to. Like when camps open, you know, what are the protocols? And some people may not want to go through all the protocols that they're going to have to deal with to play college football. So I don't think it's going to be like wreck the sport, like you won't be able to field a team. But I do think it's going to be a number significant enough to draw our attention.
That's fascinating because I guess I keep living with this idea that, you know, between the keg stands and sharing a ball in college because it's a petri dish for coronavirus. So if more people opt out, I would assume if you extend and you delay and push back the season, more players then are going to end up actually getting it, and then you'll see more and more start to opt out. Could there be like a reverse domino effect here where in pushing it back, you actually have a undesired result for college football?
Well, I don't know how – I don't know that you could say that one outcome is certain in any of this. But,
sure.
You know, look – the science will tell us that the virus is going to spread, but the college-age student is, you know, for the most part, going to be okay, and they're going to, you know, have mild symptoms for a few days, and they'll resolve, and then they'll be able to get back after their quarantine period. So, you know, I just think the thinking goes that, you know, there's going to be people in quarantine on the front end of this, so might as well get it over with, and maybe let the, you know, if there's a curve in a city or a curve in a state, that there's going to be a curve on a college campus, and so it'll go up and then it'll come down, and then once it comes down, maybe the conditions are better to play football. I think that's the thinking.
USA Today's Dan Wolkin joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. I like how you phrase it. You're like, yeah, no one can really predict any of this, which is 100% true, but I've noticed a trend lately, right? So in the beginning, you had Dabo saying we're going to kick Corona in the teeth as if we have a say against this virus. You had Mike Gundy comparing Corona to the common flu and saying to treat Corona the same way. He has since recanted that. Jim Harbaugh, who his bread is buttered by the sport existing, obviously. I thought he was terribly and almost borderline recklessly wrong with some of the thoughts that he had to say. Blinders were popping up all over college football. I've noticed they stopped popping up. Why is that? Are just coaches understanding to take a moment and step back before they speak, or are we just understanding that no one can really speak confidently enough about it one way or another, so no one is?
Well, I think a lot of people genuinely believed that, you know, whether or not you felt like this is just the flu or this is overblown. Even if that was your point of view, I think everyone sort of came at this from the standpoint that, all right, once we get over the lockdowns and the curve starts to flatten, that we'll be all good. You know, by the summer, I mean, we heard a lot about, you know, the hot weather would improve things. It would sort of burn off. And so everyone just kind of, I think, assumed that by now, by this point in the calendar, that the cases would be low enough that we could kind of get back to normal. Well, obviously, like a lot of things, the virus has had other ideas and has disproved that. So, you know, I think people maybe just got caught a little flat-footed, you know, by taking the absolute rosiest possible view of what might happen and applying it to, you know, their hopes that we would be able to play and everything would be cool by now and we'd have full stadiums and all that stuff. But you know, if you study pandemics, if you study this stuff, I mean, it doesn't even take a degree in epidemiology to realize that, you know, that there's real uncertainty about the course all this stuff's going to take. And, you know, maybe people just didn't talk about it enough with enough caveats.
Yeah, but you've covered college sports forever, though. There was a hubris attached to what some of these coaches were saying and what was coming out of their mouth. And you're right, you don't need to be an infectious disease doctor in order to understand truly the significant nature of what's happening and what's going around. It's just, do you believe that college coaches at this point have stopped seeing it with the glass half full? Like, it was enough. Like, they started realizing, like, okay, wait, maybe we misjudged this one.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, I was there mentally when the NCAA tournament got canceled. I mean, and the NBA got shut down. Like, all these things, right, that you would have never imagined. Like, in January, you know, even when we first heard about coronavirus, we would have never imagined that these things would be totally brought to a standstill. It would totally be shut down. We wouldn't play the NCAA tournament. It's unimaginable, right? But once that happens, like, I don't understand how, in your mind, you could be in denial that more stuff, or that this was going to continue to be a problem, that it was going to be difficult to play sports, you know, for months and months and months. And there was certainly a blip of optimism there, but certainly now, the more people in college sports have really drilled down on this and gotten closer to the deadlines, yeah, like, there's a lot of pessimism. Like, I think people realize for the most part how hard it's going to be. Now, yeah, you know, you still got your coaches who, you know, kind of think they should just be powering. This is all crazy, and they should just be powering through. And if people get sick, they get sick, right? That's kind of like what some of these coaches believe. But yeah, I would be, I would be shocked if the majority of people are by this point are not. You know, we're not very much understanding of the dire circumstances.
All right, so let's take the logical leap then. If they're going to then fix the schedules and try to play within the conferences, and if there's no guarantee that we're going to see them make it to December, let's say, should the Big Ten, should they move up Michigan, Ohio State, or is that something that they can still keep at the end?
Well, I think the goal for most of these leagues as they look at these conference-only schedules is to try to play the division games early if possible so that, you know, if games have to be canceled down the road, that you feel like you have a legitimate division champion and a legitimate conference champion. So I do think the priority will be moved, you know, the priority games will be moved earlier and earlier. Obviously Michigan, Ohio State's, you know, been played on one weekend for a long time and, in that spot on the calendar for a long time. But, for this year to move it early, that would just fit in with, the other games. Like, I think Ohio State, Penn State will be earlier than normally is. If I'm a fan, and I am a fan, but I'm a media member, but as a media member, what I would tell fans is, like, don't get too hyped up or caught up in, like, the tradition or anything like that. Like, this is just a weird year, and we should be happy if we get any of this, you know, if the season happens at all, and you just get through it and get to the other side. Like, if they finish the season, we should be thrilled. And so whatever it takes to get there, you just got to kind of roll with it and look at it as a unique once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Dan, I'm going to go for it with this question because you know the college landscape so well. I feel like you can give me an answer on it. Like for instance, you know, baseball is a big sport of mine, right? So if someone were to ask me, could baseball stop and then start back up again? If Rob Manfred said we had too many cases, we just got to take a pause for a week, I know in my heart of hearts, knowing dealing with Rob Manfred, they would find a way to get it back going. It wouldn't just be stop and then they're just done. With college football, the way you know Mark Emmert, the way you know the heads of the Power 5 conferences, if it's stopped, is that it for the season, or do you feel like there'd still be an avenue where they'd come back?
I think if there's a significant stoppage, like not saying 1 week, you know, that a team here or there can't play. I think if it's basically we're in a situation where most schools just the conditions are so bad that they can't compete, and that there's just got to be a shutdown of the whole thing, I don't think it would come back. No.
Hmm. I get the impression that you're right there. That I mean, it's so tough, and I hate that it's such a hard question to answer. But you knowing the commissioners and you knowing the people in charge, there is an identity attached to that. Dan Wolkin, USA Today. I appreciate the insight. Great stuff as always, and of course, you're fantastic to read. For someone that at this point I look on the outside in with college football, you always have a way of getting me caught up. So I appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. It's Dan Wolkin on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.